Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Another abnormal schedule this week, so start out by addressing that.
Surprise, bitches, it's us.
As you, avid AEW watcher, as all of our listeners are, probably know, Dynamite has been on Saturday for the past 2 weeks. So today, we are going to be talking about the past 2 weeks of Rampage and Dynamite. That's four shows, so this is going to be a real whirlwind. This show will come out whenever you're hearing it, and there won't be an episode this coming Sunday, which I think is Halloween. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No Halloween ep. And then we'll be back on our normal schedule, next week, in marriage session. So,
Halloween is, of course, a religious holiday for us witches, so that is why we're taking it off.
Yes, we'll be celebrating, in the nude. By the moon. Okay, we're off to a good start. I just wanted to acknowledge up front, just because I think it's been kind of fun to see the content. The biggest thing that's been happening for the past few weeks is that some of the wrestlers have been on the Jericho cruise. And yeah. I think the Jericho cruise actually looks kind of fun.
I honestly, I was joking about going to it ahead of time, but then I did kind of wish I had gone to it, even though it must be insane to just be trapped on a boat. Yeah.
It's got to actually be, and I'm not a cruise person really, so I think it's got to actually not be great, but just seeing a lot of people, I'm in Minnesota, so now it is getting really cold, and it's they're all in shorts and flippy floppies and taking weird chicken pics with wrestlers, and I thought, God, I wish that was me.
I know. Plus, you could really get really close to all the wrestling matches, and also, I did see a tweet where someone had a picture, the crowd at one of the matches on the cruise or whatever, and they were there is no women in this picture. There are two women, and they circled both of them, and they were this one looks why did my boyfriend bring me this? And this one looks I can't believe I have to be here, which they really did, so it was pretty funny.
I just think it wouldn't not be fun to in a large group of women, bring kind of a Nashville bachelorette party energy to the Jericho cruise. And I think that maybe the rest would appreciate that change of pace as well.
I think they would. I think they'd love to see some unaccompanied women, walking around.
So next year, and Chris Jericho, you can, if you have a press fair that you want to contact us.
That's right.
As you know, we
we'll come cover it. We'll live pod from the cruise.
And we always say nice things about you, so I'm sure you'll
big fans.
Do that.
I will say, I did really enjoy that Chris Jericho seemed to be being best friends with Orange Cassidy. They tagged together and he wore Orange Cassidy's shirt. He wore his whole outfit, which was cute.
More specifically, he made up a shirt of him Chris Jericho in the glasses. He was wearing his own version, which is a level of planning that I was amazing. I'm on board.
Yeah.
The versions of the Orange Cassidy shirt that you see floating around on Twitter of that other wrestlers have done of themselves, Danhausen has one that sometimes comes up. They are just really enjoyable. I'm that's such a fun little Easter egg that occasionally you're wait a second, that's not OC, that's somebody else.
Thing about this, I don't know why it was so funny to me that when I watched the video of Chris Jericho announcing that they were going to be a tag team, he was and I, Chris Jericho, am going to tag with Orange Cassidy, and our tag name is going to be Orange Jericho. And I was like, you're such a clever, clever man. Wow,
took hours some of overtime thought. Hours yeah. on that one, Chris. Well, I love it. I'm actually fully supporter of the Jericho Cruise. Speaking of other things that I support, we are going to check in on my favorite running feud right now, MJF and Darby. So the last time you heard from us on the pod, MJF and some of his goons, or his goons, I don't know who exactly did it. I assume it was him.
They were disguised, so it was pretty.
Yeah, they were
who
wearing
could
their ski masks.
Yeah.
had jumped Darby in a parking lot and really fucked him up, which it's like when it's Darby, like, you know, that man is stopped by nothing. So the implication is that they really did a pretty bad beating on him. Darby has not been seen since. Mm-mm. MJF has been on Dynamite / Rampage twice just to vamp about how do you like me now, Darby? Have I broken you mentally now, Darby? So I think one time he did a bit where he pretended not to know that Darby had postponed the match, and he made little poor little Bryce Remsburg count to 10 to declare him the winner, with like Bryce being like, oh no, it's not right.
I don't want to do it.
Before Sting came out to stop him. And then this week, he beat Sting up. He and Sean the Chairman Spears, with Wardlow standing by, beat the legend Sting up.
It was pretty brutal. And then he like held Sting's head up and like yelled into the camera, like, Darby, I know you're watching, you know, like, isn't this breaking you kind of thing? Yeah.
Right. How have I broken you mentally now, Darby? The fixation on that phrase is so delicious to me. It's just working so well. I mean, whew.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something potentially spicy, which is that Sting, during the period that MJF was holding him, I was like, if this man was in his prime, I
don't
would
know
be
where you're
very
going
into this. He was doing a very sexual ragdoll.
Leah, I could barely understand what you're saying, but I think I understand the heart of what you're saying. You know, I don't disagree. It's like, if Darby had been the one being held like that.
But specifically, I was like, Sting is doing a...
It was about Sting for you. No,
it was
go
about
on, Leah.
It was about Sting, but it like was I was very Sting. Conscious that uh-huh. Sting is not an age range that I am normally into.
Sting
but
is...
the things he was doing was good.
What things? What things he do, Leah? What things did he do?
When MJF had him by the hair, and he was cradled between MJF's knees.
He was, yeah he was cradled.
Right. And he was making agony faces.
He didn't feel good. He was hurt. Yeah.
I like that this segment right now is just like, Allie's always attracted to Sting, and Leah's having to admit that she was in this moment and describe it to her. It's just like...
I actually just like forgot that I'm attracted to Sting, and that's not even how I was engaging with this, but it is true that I have often said that I love his juicy yoga thighs. So I'm glad that Leah and I could share this sexual experience.
There is this like element of humiliation, and it's got dynamics to it.
There's quite a few dynamics, and it did just feel outrageous. Like, to do that to Sting,
the legend Sting,
Sting. I guess let's actually discuss this really quickly. Do you guys agree? And I believe you do. MJF has like the most prominent junk at AEW, right? Like when he's on stage, you really see it.
I was really noticing it this week, like, because I think he was wearing these kind of like salmon colored little Russell panties, and they were like pink on the junk, but like had a different, like a gray on the thigh. So it looked very like, oh my God, can you see? And then it was like, no, it's just like, but it was very dick forward.
Oh wow, I didn't think I saw. Well, I like it. That's very funny, especially because of the, I think it was the Elite, or no, it was the Dark Order this week being like, I think you should show some tip.
Yeah, they were.
But it does kind of feel like it's like MJF is almost already doing that.
Yeah.
it's just dangerous, but I like that. As we said, we're getting spicy in this segment. how close do you guys think Wardlow is to doing something big?
I think it's starting. I don't know how long they're going to draw it out, but I think we're on the on-ramp.
Yeah, it seems like it for sure. Like, which I'm very excited for, because a little riff there is electrifying.
I know. I know this is the thing that Leah's most excited for us to discuss today, probably. MJF, Wardlow, and Sean Spears did a little skit. I have to say, they are all really good at doing little skits. Like, it felt very, like, natural but performy at the same time. You know what I mean? It's good theater. Wardlow was like, what the fuck? You shoved me in front of Sting. MJF was like, no, I didn't do anything. You know I respect you. You know I pay you good because you are so good. But I do think maybe I've put a little too much on just you alone. So from now on, you're going to have an accountability buddy.
Which is the funniest little word.
So like, funny.
It just gets so fast at the end. Accountability buddy.
Accountability buddy. and then he disappeared, and Wardlow looked at Sean Spears, and Sean Spears just goes, hey. And I thought, I was watching it on my own. I said out loud, fuck.
I know.
Because I did, in that moment, like Sean Spears.
It was a very likable moment from him. And he was wearing a hat, right? So, like, you couldn't see his dumb hair.
The hat is so important, because when I see the mohawk, I feel so angry at him. But when it's hidden, I start to think he is like, pretty funny. He's a comedy boy.
And he's an attractive man when you can't see his hair,
actually. That's not it. That's not it for me, really.
Okay, well.
But his personality becomes more attractive.
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, the mohawk really draws the eye, personality-wise.
The mohawk is kind of its own personality. well, excited to see that play out. Also, this week in MJF world, MJF rented out FTR to Andrade. The implications of this are many. And so that they could fight as fake luchadors, the Super Frogs, against the Lucha Brothers in a match that they won. So they won the Lucha Brothers AAA belts. Discuss.
I mean, not to be like giant Pinnacle fans this week, but like this was the most I liked FTR, I think, ever. Them hopping around in those stupid little frog outfits. Yeah. I was like, this is right. This is what you should be doing.
I agree. It really is feeling to me like the Pinnacle men were trapped in the Macho Olympics with the inner circle, where everybody had to constantly be like, I'm serious. This is serious. I'm taking this seriously. And what they have done since leaving that feud, they're going absolutely wacko crazy. And I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah. I know. And FTR is still like so self-serious in their little promos, but like, yeah, the hopping around with the like the frogs, it's like, could you get more of this energy like in everything you're doing? Like, just love it.
I want to see you guys hopping backstage. I want to see you hopping to your cars. I want to see you hopping with your wives.
I want to get that hop on. I know. And then it was very weird with this match, too, because it was like we weren't supposed to know who they were. Like, it was these mystery men, Super Frogs. And then CM Punk was like, it's definitely FTR in there in a very, like, derisive way, which was really funny. And it...
Well, it was... So let's take a poll. Who thinks that it was fine, that, like, he was supposed to just say it and that was right? And who thinks that he wasn't supposed to say it that early?
I don't think he was, because it should have been a moment where they pulled off the masks and everybody like lost their mind. But I think he undercut it.
Yeah. I completely agree.
I don't know. I'm like on the fence about whether or not he was supposed to. I think it would have been better if he hadn't, like, but I don't know if it was the plan or not. But I think he should have, if he was going to reveal it, like at least said it like 2 more minutes into the match, because he said it like literally as soon as they got out there, basically.
And I felt like the response from the rest of the commentary team was kind of like, oh, we weren't gonna be saying that right now.
Yeah, nobody really responded to him when he said it.
Yeah, it was really weird to me. It's like, I just feel like I expected to see lots of people being like, CM Punk really just kind of like gave that one away for free, huh? And I didn't really see that, but I definitely was like,
weird energy on commentary in general.
I have to say that I don't love it, but I think it's just he like makes me kind of nervous, and I guess for reasons like this, where I'm like, what is the next thing you're gonna say? He's always saying something that I'm like, I did not see that coming.
Yeah, you feel like a metaphor could really get away from him pretty easily.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, give people time to to get used to it, I guess. What did you think about the Andrade MJF team up angle?
Andrade has been winning me over lately. I don't know what it is, but he's been like loosening up in a way that I found very funny. And the two of them in the stairwell talking did crack me up multiple times.
I thought it was a great promo.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I would like this team up just because I feel like Andrade is like a good wrestler, but he hasn't really won me over yet. So I feel like MJF could bring some stuff out in him to make him more enjoyable. It's just, you know.
Now he's like mixed up in, we'll get to this later, but mixed up in like Malakai Black's whole deal too a little bit, although it's kind of unclear, whatever, we'll get to it later. But I am like, I like that he's getting integrated into some other factions. Like he has a little bit of a vibe of like, you know, he's like, I'm going to use you till I don't need you anymore, which I think is, that's good. I like when two con men are kind of trying to con each other and you're like, who's going to come out on top? I like that.
And I think the integration into more storylines will really like do a lot for me because he has kind of been off on his own more up to this point. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Bobby Fish, who I will say I did typo him as Booby Fish in this document. And I do love his boobs. I want to get that out there. I actually am obsessed with his body. Oh, my God. Did we even talk on this podcast about his match with
Bryan Danielson
that you just manifested?
I think it was in this
time guys, period, but where it fell, couldn't tell you.
I feel like it was last weekend stuff. I think you're right, it was last weekend. It was on Dynamite because he fought the night before in the Rampage buy-in too. That match was everything that I wanted.
It's crazy you manifested that.
I know. And I really, like, I really, in the episode, was like, I know I won't get it.
There was two things that you manifested in that episode, because it was this, and you were like, what's going on with Lee Moriarty? Have we seen him lately? And then the very next day, they were like, he's fighting on Rampage, and he's been signed.
Yeah, and it was a good match on Rampage, because that was against Suzuki or Danielson. It was one of those buy-in matches, I think. Don't know. Doesn't matter. Bryan Danielson and Bobby Fish have perfect little beefy old-timey bodies. I saw them fight each other. I got so just like overstimulated. So I think it's cool. The cool thing about wrestling is that it's like you learn stuff about yourself every day when you stuff you didn't know, stuff you did not know. But anyway, this week, Bobby Fish fought Anthony Green on Dynamite. I do not know if I was supposed to know who Anthony Green. I think we've seen him before, maybe.
Yeah, I think he was on Dynamite sometime this month, but he's been on Dark a couple of times. He tagged with. Who did Mox and Eddie fight recently?
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about? They fought him and somebody else.
You're right. Like that's what I'm remembering or him someone? From.
Yeah, something.
Oh, that sounds kind of right, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of liked his outfit. I thought it was a little, like, it was like a, well, I don't know. Just the, like, Woodstock vibe. I was kind of into it. As like a comedy bit, obviously. I wasn't horny about him. My eyes were elsewhere. It was a squash match. But then CM Punk came out to defend him somehow afterwards. I don't remember why. I've never remember why.
I felt like, do CM Punk and Bobby Fish have heat right now?
They do.
Well, yeah,
they
got
into a whole, and it was a really, like, I thought they were giving each other some sexy looks, and like Bobby Fish likes to do that dramatic, like Leah's laughing at me so hard. She's just like, this is fucking crazy.
The old timey carnival barker.
It's my my son.
Listen, when you talk about Bobby Fish, I do feel like, you know, Samwise being like, don't go where I can follow. And I cannot follow you to Bobby Fish. I just can't.
I'm only going there. It's like I'm just going there personally. It's like I'm not even trying to take anyone with me. When I go where Bobby Fish is, that's for me and kind of only for me. My greatest showman. Yeah, but he's going to fight CM Punk. And Leah, I believe you have a little CM Punk reportage for us.
Just, this is so stupid, but it blew my mind. I was cracking up. On Saturday, I watched Dynamite with two of my friends who were going to Dynamite Wednesday with. And my friend Tracy, who is not an AEW watcher, CM Punk comes out and she said, in the world's mildest tone, that man looks like Christopher Maloney. She's not wrong.
I can see it. As you say it, I can see it.
Yeah, and I can, like, now once you like start looking at him, you're like, yeah, no, I can't unsee it now. I just lost my mind laughing about that.
Well, I thought CM Punk was looking pretty good when he came out in that backwards baseball cap and that shirt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With the silver in his beard. It looks good.
With the silver in his beard. That's a daddy. Something to think about for some. Leah, did you have anything? Do you have any insight into this thoughts about Punk's potential heel turn?
Yeah, well, I mean, so my friend Sarah has, which you saw part of it, she has this whole theory going about CM Punk's heel turn, which mm-hmm. Honestly, she could be full of shit. So don't, I mean, this is nothing, but
we're full of shit on everything today. I'm just interested in what she thinks.
So she she was saying that when he came out on Dynamite and he was looking around at the crowd, it felt like he was really like eating up the crowd reaction in a like really obvious way. And mm-hmm. she was saying that she was thinking that that's going to be part of his heel turn, that like he's addicted to the crowd and is following, like he's obsessed with whether the crowd is really like, is if he's played it out so too much, or like she thinks that the crowd is going to be part of his heel turn, which is really
interesting. I definitely could see that. And I also am interested in, I think there's a bunch of stuff you could do where it's like, he's feeding off the energy of the crowd and then you get a little sour note and then he's like turning on the crowd kind of like you could do something with that. That would be cool.
Yeah. I'd be really good if they did something with that. I feel like because they've been doing so much time where he gets cheered and stuff. So it'd be nice if they like wrap that into like a, you know,
right. And it's interesting because like it's almost like CM Punk wants the crowd to be the other character in his heel turn, which actually is what's going on with Cody, but Cody doesn't like it. Mm-hmm. You know?
I know. Yeah, that's really true. Well, we should put a pin in this and come back to it when we get to the Cody stuff. Mm-hmm. That's a good thought. So he's going to fight Bobby Fish, CM Punk. Well, Mama's going to like it. last week, Wheeler Yuta and Mox had a super squash match. Did we already talk about this? I think we did. Maybe we didn't. Well, I don't know. But there's two things that I want to do. So one, I'm leading into, we're going to talk about what's going on in the men's eliminator tournament. I would like to briefly touch on this full-length leather coat that Yuta is wearing. Have you guys been thinking about this at all?
I can't say that I have.
I haven't put a lot of thought into it, but I know what you're talking about.
But
the spike from Buffy leather coat that he's wearing.
Yeah, I like you went there. I also went to Blade. You know, it's just kind of like a why for me because I don't think I understand it. And I'm just interested. And I thought maybe, you know.
I think those kind of leather coats, like, they can look cool on the right kind of person who can pull them off. And it's not like it doesn't look cool on him, but I feel like when I see it on him, I'm all like, oh, baby, which I think is not usually the vibe you're looking for with, like, a leather duster, you know?
I really don't think it looks cool. I obviously think he's so sweet, and I want to hear that he got signed, and I'm begging AEW to sign him and tell me they did it. But I think it's so funny and crazy. It's like, and I keep being like, does it go with, like, the gear? Like, you're doing a futuristic kind of like steampunk thing. I don't want that for you. I personally am not a steampunk person.
but you got to commit to it if that's what you're doing. And yeah, I don't know what his overall vibe he's trying for.
I just had a staggering thought. I don't know if this is going to hit anybody else, but I did just realize that especially when he's wearing that wet leather coat and because of his face, Wheeler Yuta looks like a character from Questionable Content came to life. Did you guys ever read that webcomic back when webcomics were cool?
I mean, not for a long time. I can see
what
you're saying,
though. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I think I was reading that when I was in middle school.
Good God.
You know what? If I find a good picture, I will put it on the Twitter. I'll probably have someone else put it on the Twitter.
Okay. Yeah, he does have a Questionable Content vibe. As you're saying, I just Googled because I was like, what do they look like? But yeah, no.
You can see it, right?
Yep, for sure. I'm impressed that you could drag that up from the old memory box.
One of the formative corners of the brain, unfortunately. I mean, not unfortunately. It was funny sometimes. Okay, so in the men's eliminator tournament, the Yuta Mox thing plays in because OC gave Mox a little seems like that was kind of mean to my son look as Mox was leaving.
Squash match, I don't know if we did talk about it, but Mox's energy where he just ran out real fast, squashed him, and then ran out again, seeming really mad, just in a I've got a lot to do today, and I squashed this guy, and now I'm on to
my next
thing.
Fucking told me that I had a match. I get back here, they're you gotta go out there and fight. I don't have the fucking time for it.
I love that energy in a squash match. I wish I don't wish everyone was doing it because it would diminish how good this was, but it was great.
It was great. Yeah, I agree. It was a uniquely good squash match. So in the first round of the men's eliminator tournament, OC fought Will Hobbs. I'm going to let you guys describe and or just immediately react to the match.
I did not think it was the best match. Mm-hmm. I think it was paced really weirdly. I mean, OC does the thing where he gets beat up a lot in the first three quarters and then he comes back and does cool shit and then either wins or doesn't win. But they forgot to have him do cool shit, and then he just accidentally won.
Seriously. And I had a good time watching it because I always enjoy watching OC, but the pacing was weird. And then I kind of ooh, he's fighting Will Hobbs. It's going to be a real big man throws around little man. And he did, but I don't know. It felt not as big man throwing around little man as I hoped.
It's interesting because I do think they did some real big man, little man moves. Will Hobbs was doing, what's it called? When he gets him over the shoulders and is just holding him there. I forget what it's called.
And he caught him out of the air and stuff. He did the moves. I expected OC to be a little more ragdolled, I don't know, making his little I'm very beat up faces.
This is very funny because I'm I thought he did tons of that, but it is a real your mileage may vary situation. I agree that I thought it was pretty light on the comeback. And it's kind of just a little bit I'm well, that I know that is my sneaky boy and I like when he's a little sneaky, but it was a little too sneaky where I was no, you do your good wrestling. Show us your good wrestling when you beat him.
Yeah. Right. I mean, him tricking Will Hobbs into getting pinned isn't usually his style.
No,
it was very strange, but it did make me laugh though after Bryce, the internet fervor over that tweet that was going around about whether Bryce tries to steal the spotlight too much. They had Bryce do multiple spots.
They did. Yeah.
In the past 2 weeks, this point, the one here where Hobbs got mad at Price and lifted him out of the air and carried him across the ring did crack me up.
Yeah. That was very funny.
And I thought it was very sweet throughout some matches the past week that they clearly backstage were no, Price, we like what you do. We're going to use you. It was just, I think, Anne, you said you missed this. There just was one person who must have a following, I don't know who it was, just tweeting and being Bryce Remsburg is a shitty ref. He always gets he thinks he's the center of every match and is always centering himself in the matches and it's really distracting. And then obviously lots of people were no, Bryce is a really good ref, and lots of wrestlers were Bryce is my favorite ref.
Yeah.
Right. Sweet.
Nice.
Right. Yeah. Right. So I think they clearly on purpose were it's Bryce week at AEW. I love. Okay, so the upshot of that is that OC is going to fight Mox in the next round of the tournament. And if this isn't a good match, AEW is going to be in trouble.
Yeah. It has to be. I'm so excited for this, though. It'll be so fun to get to see the two of them wrestle.
I know. It better not be a squash match. I want at least 15 minutes. Like, I must see.
Yeah, I need it. Also in the men's eliminator, Bryan Danielson fought Dustin Rhodes in a match that was not really for us. Like, not like, and not even in a mean way, like, oh, it wasn't to my taste. Like, it wasn't for me.
I know. I felt very like, well, it was like, clearly Bryan Danielson was going to win, so it wasn't like suspenseful. And then it's like, I feel fond of Dustin Rhodes, but like, yeah, I just don't care.
It did crack me up. I was watching, like I said, with my friend Tracy, who's not a normal watcher. And she was like, at the very beginning, she was like, this man is too old to be wrestling. What is he doing? And then like partway through the match, she started actively cheering against Bryan Danielson. I was like, are you rooting for Dustin Rhodes? And she was like, yeah, this is bullshit. Leave that old man alone.
That's super charming.
I do feel really fond of Dustin Rhodes a lot of the times these days. I think like just because like the women's division clearly likes him so much and are so like happy with him as a mentor, so that he gets a lot of shine off of that. I am, every time he wrestles, I'm reminded again that his costume is perverted. It is the thing that should most not be allowed to be seen on TV. He came right out of a BDSM dungeon in that, and like to wrestle. I think it's crazy. I hate it, but I am entranced by it at times.
Yeah,
and he smears a lot of paint too, but not in a hot way, like the other boys. Also this week, Lance Archer and Eddie Kingston had a match, which was a lot of Lance Archer beating on Eddie and beating on a wrestler who was pretending to be a bystander and, you know, doing his whole big thing. And then he injured himself, which even though by the time I watched Dynamite, it was not live. And was it live this week? I assume. I don't know.
Yeah.
By the time I watched, I knew that he was okay. It still was really scary.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Quick though, that wrestler in the crowd, did you clock that was our very own bread man?
It was Chris Cross. No.
Yeah, it was Chris Cross. Marcus Cross.
Yes. I think that I had seen, I didn't see all the group chat conversation about this match, but I think I had seen that. And then, so I was thinking about it while I watched and was like, oh yeah, I would not have, I guess it's very bright kind of long hair, but
yeah.
Very funny.
This match accidentally had the exact same problems as OC versus Hobbs, which is that Lance Archer got injured before Eddie had a chance to stage his comeback. So then, like, Eddie just got beat up for a while and then rolled up Lance Archer, and then it was over.
Yeah.
So it was the same thing.
Do you think that it was the ending that it was supposed to be? Like, I know it, I mean, they called an audible, so obviously it's not how it was supposed to end, but do you think it was the outcome it was supposed to be? Or do you think the audible they called was to have Eddie win?
I think it must have been the outcome that they wanted it to be, because when OC's audible got called, they still, like, figured out a way to have the ending be the same. So yeah. I think that they would have, because Lance got back into the ring, so I think that they would have, if Lance was supposed to win, I think they would have had Eddie get pinned.
But if they were worried about, because the way they did it with OC, they were like, okay, we're going to set up that there'll be three of them. So, and we, at the time we were like, so that if OC is actually injured, they can get him out of it.
Yeah.
But this one, I was like, if Lance Archer isn't fit to wrestle next week, then they don't have an easy out. So that was the reason I was like, maybe he
wasn't
supposed to win.
I don't know. Thing with this injury that was a little bit weird to me, like, compared to like some other injuries where they like seemed really concerned, is like the commentary table was just kind of like, oh, he landed on his head, like in a very, like, they didn't seem very worried at all. And like they showed him doing it like in a replay, which they also usually don't do, like if someone like hurts themselves. So I was a little bit like I assume like it definitely was like, you know, an accident, but it was like a little bit, it didn't, I don't know, it just seemed like they thought he was okay or it wasn't a big deal or something.
Yeah, I agree that the fact that they showed a replay did make me think it was a kayfabe like injury, but then like later it became clear it wasn't. But they were treating it like it was a kayfabe injury. Yeah.
They were like, oh, he under-rotated like immediately, and then like replayed it, and it was so I was in this like, wait, is this like for real or what? But
that's interesting. Because I was seeing it after, like, I had already seen Twitter responses, I guess I just felt like the Twitter responses were like really clearly like, that's a really scary thing to have happen, like landing on your head is like really bad. So it would I don't know,
it's just weird, like, because the commentary, like, when there was a time when like Matt Hardy got injured, like they got real serious and like the tone really changed, whereas this was like Excalibur being like, oh yeah, like under rotation, like you can do that, I don't know, just like in a very not worried way. It was interesting. So
I'd love to get behind the scenes and know if they have conversations about like what's the right thing to do. You know what I mean? Because that Hardy injury was pretty early, right?
Yeah, it was right before we were watching, for sure. I feel like it was like 2020 probably.
Well, I don't know anything, but I do know that OC Mox and Danielson Kingston are the next two matches, and I know that Mox did the heart-horniest little promo of all. And I was, again, alone in my home afterwards. I was just like, that's the promo king. I mean, when Mox does it's ridiculous. You never for a second are like, what is going to happen here? He just is so himself. And he was like, I only care about my daughter. I don't give a shit about any of this. But I do have to win because I wish, you know, it would be better if I were a mailman. But I'm not. I'm here to do violence to other men. So I've got to do good violence for my daughter.
A mailman or a gym teacher. It gave me a real like, wow, what if Mox was a gym teacher? Like, oh, a little God. Moment. Yeah.
I'm so scared.
Imagine getting caught goofing off by gym teacher Mox. Like, I think I would shit my pants.
For sure. But also imagine, like, gym teacher Mox giving a shit if I'm goofing off. You know what I mean? Like,
it's true.
An interesting line to ride.
Right.
Also on Dynamite this week, we had Pac Andrade Redux. This was, I think, was good wrestling.
Yeah.
I think so, because I was a little bit like, oh, I'm not emotionally invested in these guys, but then I like really enjoyed the match. Like, they were doing really cool stuff, so that was cool.
Fun.
I don't know enough to say more than that.
It's
funny.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Allie.
No, I was just going to say it's funny with some of these matches. I'm just like, I don't really know. I think it was good. I don't know.
It seemed good. I liked it.
I've been self-centeredly obsessed lately thinking about like why I like the lucha wrestling much more than like the grappling. But like what's very interesting about this match is that they really were doing both in a way that like I really liked. Like, the two of them really go off the ropes, but then manage to like grab each other in these brutal, like, you know what I mean? Or I don't know.
I absolutely know what you mean. You know, I was thinking when I was watching the interference that we'll talk about in a minute, I was watching like the way that Pac was kicking Andrade and the way Andrade was responding, and I thought to myself, like, this has come up before, which it hasn't, they really are like two war horses. But it was like, I could see them on the cover of, I of course was a little bit of a horse girl at one point. I had a bunch of horse books. I was really into horse books, not into actual horses. And I could just see both of them on the cover of like Man of War and the Black Stallion, where they have that like muscly, like big, muscly, strong horse energy, but also these like graceful little kicks. Like, the way that Pac kicks is so controlled but so strong and so graceful at the same time. And I was just like, yes, I'm watching stallions.
I love that, because you had like so much detail in your description of it, which really brought it out, but it also sounds like something Jim Ross would say, like, these are two war horses, you know? So amazing.
I hope that I illustrated my point more than Jim Ross usually does.
You did, by far. Yeah,
thank you. But I really do know what you mean. I think it's like they bring together that like spectacle that is like when people are doing the high flying stuff with the real intensity of the close up stuff.
Totally.
Yeah. Which is a good combination. It's like, it does make you be like, oh yeah, whenever possible, let's do that. It's really arresting. It's hard to look away.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
Do you guys know why Malakai Black interfered? Does anyone know?
No, I really, it was like, I am not tracking their relationships at all, apparently, because every time they ran out, I was like, wait, what's happening? And it happened two nights in a row. And then the second night, I was like, wait, I think this did happen last night. No. And I just felt
commentary kept saying that Malakai Black and Andrade are friends. But I don't know if that's like a WWE thing.
Show me the proof.
I know, right. Well, that's the thing that makes me so fucking crazy is that like, they have to set these things up. You can't be like, as we all know, because we've all been watching 20 years of wrestling. It's like, what?
That makes me curious, especially when people were like, all this New Japan stuff is too much. But it's like, they were setting that stuff up, but you can't just assume everyone's been watching WWE this whole time. It's not canon.
Right. You got to give us our little taste.
Yeah, just give them one backstage thing where they, you know, pick out clothes for each other. And then I'm on board, you know?
I'd love to watch a little sketch where it's like Andrade is just like looking at himself in the mirror, so pleased. And then the lights go out. And then he's just like in the bathroom.
And then Malakai Black standing right behind him, like Bloody Mary.
Yeah. I also did have my revelation this week that Malakai Black is just the McCavity of AEW. And now I'm thinking about that all the time, where it's just like, it's just pure comedy that he's like, when I show up somewhere, the lights go out. And everyone's like, we were doing something here. We were busy, actually. But sure, the lights go out.
It does make me laugh that for Full Gear, the notes that Tony made was like Cody versus Malakai or Andrade or Miro. But apparently they're just going to do Cody and Pac versus Malakai and Andrade. And so it's just like, let's see how many people we can put it.
Did they announce that?
No, but that's what the internet's theory is, that's going to be the foursome for
energy.
Yeah.
Pac versus Malakai and Andrade. Well, I don't
understand any of that. Really it's very like, that. Okay.
Okay. Oh yeah. Cody came out and interfered with Malakai Black's interference at the end, blah, blah, blah. He was doing a casual Friday thing to appeal to the proletariat to show us he's not a Hollywood boy. So let's talk about Cody Rhodes.
Oh,
Cody
boy.
And Malakai had their third match of this feud on Dynamite this week. Their intros are so long. I forgive it to Malakai because I love him. That's my little goth son. I don't want to stunt his emotional growth by telling him he has to cut off his intro. But between the two of them, it's like, we can't do this again.
They both need to have an abridged opening for when the other person also has a really long opening. Like,
I know.
You know,
it's like this. It's like a short like, credits. Yeah, exactly. But instead, they're like, this is like the match begins with our intros and then continues with our bodies.
20 minutes later, we actually wrestle. I know. Cody got booed so intensely in this match. Like, there was a Cody sucks chant.
That Florida. Cody sucks made my jaw dropped, actually. Like, I was just
so
like, this is intense.
Loud. Yeah. Right. And, like, and very understandable, like, even on TV. Right. You know, it was just like, that was intense.
Yeah. It was crazy that happened in Florida, which he is usually his crowd. Like, I think that they were partially expecting it in New York. But, oh, my God.
And especially when this was the one where like Cody was gonna win, like at the end they were like, "This is his redemption." Like he's whatever.
I was absolutely crazy when the commentary team just has to continue on, and they're just like, "Redemption for Cody," and it's like, "Okay, well, I think that like I can't tell because of the music, but I think he's still being booed."
Right. Everyone seems pretty upset he won, actually. So I don't know if that's a real good redemption arc.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of the wrestling, I thought it was a good match. I actually found it more interesting than I thought that I would.
I did too.
I don't approve. I'm about to sound like a million mom again, but I'm like, I think at one point the crowd, because Arn was in the ring and Arn had his little spot, whatever, I don't care. The crowd was chanting like, "Get your Glock" or something. And I genuinely did have a response of, I'm like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want us shouting about guns. It's not appropriate. I don't think Arn should actually, I don't think it's funny anymore. I don't think Arn should be allowed to bring up his Glock. Mm-hmm. We have a gun problem.
It's inappropriate. It's
I didn't like it.
I don't like Arn. It really I know. Well, and it kills me. Like, I was thinking again about, which I always think whenever Cody comes out, which is that like the American Nightmare is a really good name for someone who's the son of the American Dream, and I feel like you could do something really interesting with that, and Cody just is not doing anything interesting with it, which is a real bummer.
No.
Well, that's what's so frustrating about Cody is that I feel like there keeps being threads in his, in what's going on with him that I'm like, if he pulled that, it could, mm-hmm. this could be really fun and really interesting. But he's so headstrong, determined to tell a different story that nobody wants to hear. Yeah. That it makes me insane.
Well, yeah. It's crazy. Like, he should have, like, the crowd's been booing him for a little bit here. So, like, they should be adjusting the storyline based on that at this point. Yeah. Like, I feel like this was real, like, you should see that coming.
Yeah, I did. I finally did reach like the end of my rope today, and I was just Googling like, what does Reddit think about Cody Rhodes? You know, when I'm just like, yeah. okay, I'll go check in with the internet wrestling community. And it is like pretty crazy. It's not crazy because I kind of see why it's happening, but that you have a lot of people out there who are like, AEW does long-term storytelling, so Cody is going to turn heel, and it is on purpose, and it is a long-term story, and he's been doing it for 2 years, and like, you know, that kind of thing. And it's like, it, that could totally be true, I guess, but it's just not, like, my gut is just like, no, there is a shoot problem here, yeah, not yeah. a work problem.
Yeah.
Like, there's something genuinely, you have some hang up about what it means to be liked or not liked by the crowd that is causing a problem.
Right. Yeah. Well, and it's like, it could be long-term storyline, but telling, but if they were doing like a long-term storytelling, Cody turns heel, like they're missing their moment for it.
Right.
To
like
happen.
This, the like, time is now. Yeah.
This is, yeah, this is when you have to do that turn if you're going to pay off. But it does feel like Cody doesn't understand how he's coming across, or Cody is so determined to, you know, whatever his like emotional deal is. But mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we will see what happens. Let's move on to the Elite. Mm-hmm. So the Elite has been having a little ongoing feud with the Dark Order, Superclique versus Dark Order. Very fun
mm-hmm.
match and Extremely series of matches. Fun. Just a blast.
I love when John Silver just is like, I have the zoomies, and he's just running up and down the ring, losing his shit. I find that so enjoyable.
I know. Yeah. It's so good. And I think the Elite, they're so good at doing like both like comedy feuds and like serious ones. Like it's interesting yeah. that they can do like such a good job like with the Dark Order. And it feels very natural and very funny, you know, when they've also done stuff that's like the Hangman Kenny stuff is...
For sure. And I do think that I think Adam Cole has done a lot for the feud with the Dark Order, because they were getting into it a little bit with some of the Hangman stuff over the summer. And that was fun. It's not like I disliked it, but Adam Cole has brought such a good energy that I feel like has taken everything else up a notch. And like, it's just extremely like sexy crazy, like they yeah. are all out there gourds.
Yeah, it's been really good. Adam Cole's energy like on BTE with like John Silver and Alex Reynolds has been like Mwah. So funny, and yeah, he doesn't even like break laughing, which is pretty impressive.
No, he's so fun. I think you were saying that it's like someone was saying that he's great because he goes back and forth between that, oh maybe it was you, Leah,
it was
between
me.
That like I'm not paying any attention to you, wait, you think that my gear doesn't look good? Whatever. I don't care about your opinion. Like, it is just, yeah. you know, it's high school vibes. It is.
Perfect.
The outcome of the Superclique versus Dark Order match. Oh, so Jungle Boy came out afterwards and, like, beat on Brandon Cutler with a chair. I think kind of leading to this Brandon Cutler JB match that we saw this weekend. That was a very big comedy squash for Brandon Cutler.
Brandon Cutler with his little grasshopper arms and legs going everywhere. I mean, he does a good job at it.
I was going to say, nobody loses a match more entertainingly than Brandon, honestly. And the real meat of it was the post-match promo where Jungle Boy was basically like, I'm fucking sick of this.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he did a good job, and it was a real like Jungle Boy, no Jungle Man moment.
This was by far his best promo. I was impressed. Yeah.
Absolutely. And like the comedy, like both the chair, like Jungle Boy hitting him with Brandon Cutler with the chair, and then him yelling this week, it almost felt like he was like, he really did get so angry, and like it to mm-hmm. for Jungle Boy to convey emotions to me. Yeah. I'm so proud of him. I'm like, I see that, you feel that, and I also see it, and I'm you're doing great.
Like some passion.
I feel like they Yeah. They managed to access something where it's like, what would the mildest, sweetest boy in the world get mad at? Bullying. Relentless yeah. bullying. Yeah, where he's just true. Like, there's no reason. You won't explain why you're being mean. You just keep being mean to me. He did a good job of communicating. That's not fair. Unfortunately, he did then get brutally roughed. Brutally roughed.
It was
up.
Very. All of his friends are on the Jericho cruise, and he had no one to defend him against this, the whole elite.
This was an NC-17 beatdown.
It was filthy. Yeah.
You couldn't air it before, what, 8 p.m. or whatever. Like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, they just, like, dragged him up by the commentary table and were, like, pulling his hair back. It was very, like, oh, boy. And then they were kissing his cheeks,
they
too.
They gave him the gentlest cheek kisses mm-hmm. that I was just, like, you know what? The elite understand that it is about the contrast between the harshness of the pulling in the hair, the softness of the kisses. So, anyway, we just all watched that with our eyes. Not a problem. Loved it. I did think when Jungle Boy was being, like, come on out and fight me, come on out, and Adam Cole came out and he was being like, do you mean me? There was I mean, not energy wise but a little bit, there was a real like, and how do you call your lover boy lover boy vibe that I didn't hate. Like, honestly, I loved it. So
oh man,
anyway,
good stuff.
We also had a little promo this week where Kenny addressed Hangman. I thought it was a good promo. Tonally, it was different than some of the stuff he's been doing recently, because he gets a look in his eyes when he's mm-hmm. doing the Hangman promos. He's really good at them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you really feel like Kenny's invested emotionally the way he sometimes doesn't seem. And it feels like yeah. they have a lot of history, and it's very visceral.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very visceral anger. And then also a little comedy. I did like that ending with Kenny and Adam Cole just both being like, oh no, you came up with the line. Where I'm like, you two are going to turn on each other at some point, and it's going to be, I mean, cats in the hen house fighting. But
yeah, I feel like with those guys too, it's like with those kind of like natural moments and promos, it's like you can just tell that they've like worked together and known each other for like a long time, you know, like there's yeah. just like a comfort level and naturalness that's really good.
Honestly, yeah. the four of them, every single like moment lately is just them having the time of their lives.
And I know
it is really fun.
It's great. So fun. The behind the scenes, I mean, the Brandon Cutler cam footage on BT this week, also great, where it's like they just are so good. They're so good at doing promos together. They know what they want. They know how to get there. They're good. Mm-hmm. We're the first people to say it, probably. Ruby Soho fought the Bunny this week, a match I have almost no memory of.
I remember liking it, but if you quizzed me on specifics, I think I would fail very badly. But
yeah. I did like it. I think in a way that speaks to something you said, Leah, because you said, well, why don't you go ahead and say it, and then I'll say my thing.
I'm really pumped about Ruby Soho because she makes people look good, which, like, especially because the women's division is less experienced, and even yeah. the good wrestlers, like Britt is a very good wrestler, but when she's paired with somebody that isn't as experienced, sometimes it's like that person drags her down, whereas Ruby yeah. does a really good job of making other people look good. Like Thunder Rosa also does a really good job of making other people look good, but like we need more of that. So when I was watching mm-hmm. Ruby and the Bunny, I was like, this is a really good match. Ruby's doing a really good job of, like, I don't know, being like being a strong partner for her.
And I think that absolutely is true, because I'm like the happy Mark who is just like, I think I like the Bunny's wrestling here. And then obviously everyone on the internet is like, it actually blows chunks. And I was like, okay, well, I like the Bunny. And I think that she does a good, like yeah. in the first place, she has the benefit of like, she's got a really strong character. She mm-hmm. brings such a like good, clear energy to everything she does. And when she's fighting, even if technically it's bad, which I think it is, maybe, she does a really good job of, I'm just like, yeah, that actually is how I feel like this person would fight, which yeah. you are mm-hmm. not seeing as much with some wrestlers. I'm just like, you do it in character, but then like the character doesn't come through in the fighting as much. But I agree that definitely like it seems like Ruby was kind of like showing her off to best effect, mm-hmm. which is a really cool thing to have mm-hmm. Somebody doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Seriously. Especially in the women's division. It's really good.
Yeah. The women's tournament bracket for the TBS Very Funny Comedy Belt was announced. So first we'll just talk about let's start with actually. So the buys for the first round, I know sports. They don't have to wrestle the first round. Were Thunder Rosa, Jade Cargill, Nyla Rose, and Chris Statlander. And the first of the first round matches that we did see was Ruby Soho again versus Penelope, which I also thought was a good match and like had some fun character beats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ruby Soho is just like so cool in general. Like I always have a really good time watching her. And then yeah, like Red Velvet got out there to defend Ruby, which was really cool. Like I like that they are the women's network of relationships and feuds is really getting developed lately, which is great.
Yeah. I loved when Red Velvet came out afterwards, and it's like she and Ruby Soho had a very good like easy energy where I was like, show me some skits. Like now, now that I thought of it, I'm like, I gotta see skits. The women have to do skits for me. I need to see it.
I know.
The other matches that we have coming up in the women's tournament. So we have Anna Jay versus Jamie Hayter. We'll talk about what Anna, well, we can just talk about it in the middle of this, actually. Anna just fought Britt this week, which is a match that I thought they, like, she came off really well in.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, she definitely did.
I thought that it was a really solid match, and there was a couple really good spots where I was like, that was solid.
Yeah. Anna Jay is still... She's really lagging. Now she's behind her boyfriend in the promo.
He's sad, got but like true. He really took like, a step forward this week.
He's got like a B minus, but she's still at like a D something. I don't know. Got to practice together a little more, guys. Mm-hmm. But at the end of that match, Ty Conti ran out to save her. And I don't know what it is, but when Ty Conti does that thing where she's like... so worked up and she keeps like sticking her tongue out in like angry concentration, it drives me wild. Like, I'm just like, I fucking love you, you're perfect, would die for you. She's gonna fight Britt at Full Gear, and I'm really excited. I think that could be a really good match.
Yeah
It's cool you're gonna get to see it. That's crazy.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
But so Anna Jay is going to fight Jamie Hayter. So she's kind of working her way through the DMD crew. And next it'll be Reba. No, I'm just kidding. The bunny is going to fight Red Velvet, which I also think could be a pretty fun match. I'm sure that, again, technically it won't be necessarily be good, but I think that vibe-wise it could be pretty rocking.
Yeah, they both got very strong personalities and good characters, I feel like. So yeah, very fun.
Yeah. And Serena Deeb and Hikaru Shida are gonna also have a first round match.
That's gonna be Wednesday, and I'm gonna see that, and I'm so
that's very
amped
exciting.
About it, because
you've
she's
got a
been
good
like,
Dynamite.
Yeah,
you're
what
really
are,
gonna
what are,
see some good stuff.
Tell us your other highlights that you know are coming.
It's Mox, isn't it? I think it's Mox versus 10. Mm-hmm. And then this one, shit, I didn't write this.
Oh, I just freely earlier was like, Mox is going to fight OC, but I think we all know that's what's going to happen. I forgot that he had to fight someone else
right.
to get there.
The men's bracket is a real, like, Eddie and Lance Archer was the only one that I had any suspense
yeah.
about. So,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
I mean, shock us, 10.
Right, yeah, 10. If 10 beat Mox in the first round.
That's very funny. Okay, anyone who was going to correct me about that, you don't have to, because I realized at the end here.
But Sheeta's been like threatening a little bit of heel stuff. Like she's been doing some weird stuff, and then like Serena is a heel. So like, I don't know. I'm really amped about it. I want to see two mean bitches go at each other.
Oh, hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Leah, I love the phrasing. I love it for you.
Was your Dynamite crew excited on Saturday when you were doing your prep work them all?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was really good because, like, Tracy doesn't watch, and then her dad is coming with us, and he does watch, but he hadn't been caught up. And he also, like, was, I don't know, he was just absorbing the things that we were getting excited about. And I like, it was really good to do like a prep and then, because we're not going to be able to talk really during the match. So it's good to, it was good to do.
Nice. I think that's now that I've been to two shows, so I'm a seasoned show professional. I do think that, like, to go to the AEW shows, it's nice when you can do like a real debrief beforehand of like, this is where we're at. What do you think is going to happen? Real debrief after. Well, wrestling is fun, guys.
I'm having a good time.
Yeah, a little
bit. Having a good time too. Okay, well, I think that's going to do it for us this week. I think we did a pretty good job on 2 weeks of shows.
A lot of content.
So, I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
And I lost my script that I usually read at the end here. Seems to be gone, actually. But
it's at the very top.
It's at the top. Yeah.
Oh, you guys. This is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email tunneltalkpod@gmail.com, on TikTok at Tunnel Talk Pod, on Tumblr at Tunnel Talk Pod. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And come back next week.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.